You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
If you have a bet on any of this year's Cheltenham races and your horse doesn't run, don't worry about it. With William Hill's Festival non-runner insurance, if your horse misses the festival altogether, you get your money back. If your horse runs in a different race at Cheltenham 2017, you get your stake back as a free bet to be used at the festival. T's and C's apply. Ask for details.
Kick off with the JLT then, which has got what in what looks the face of it, one of the most sort of dodgy favourites. I think we're either going to get a touch of brilliance or we're going to get this York Hill on the floor, get beat, or something's going to go wrong with him, because he looks to me look as though he's totally wired to the moon. He's definitely got a kink in him. Ruby will have a job managing him through this race. I think he's a kind of horse as well that needs to be doing things on his own. So far in his two chasing victories, he's been allowed the luxury of just popping away in front. But he's not going to get that here. Be interesting to see how Ruby rides him, because he's going to have Disco and Politologue, who are confirmed front runners and like to go good gallop, and they jump well, taking him out of his comfort zone. So I think at this stage of the game, I think York Hill is a bad value bet around about the 6-4. I know he's the most brilliant horse in the race. He could win a champion hurdle, we all know that. But up until now, and including that schooling round the other day, he's still unconvincing over fences, and I don't want to be back in a 6-4 chance to jump round Cheltenham when they're unconvincing. Whereas I do think Disco, who represents the best form in Ireland, over 2.5 miles, the Flow Glass Novices Chase, when he beat next year's Gold Cup winner, our Duke, as I've already said in a previous piece, that was a very strong time figure. It compared favourably with Sizing John's victory in the Hennessy Gold Cup to the tune of around about 20-25 lengths. So they're obviously operating at a very fast level that day. And the fact that Bells Hill, who was the short price odds on favourite to win that race, never got a look in at all, tells you how fast they were going in that race. That Disco is a really decent horse. He reminds me of Apache Stronghold, who finished second in the race to Vator a couple of years ago. He's that kind of horse. But I do think we have to pay a massive amount of respect for Politologue well, who's been laid out for the race. The feature about Politologue is his sound jumping and racing up with the speed. And the new course over fences definitely handsomely rewards horses that race with his run style. And I think he'll get plenty of these in trouble. So I'm probably going to split my stakes. I'm not going to go too cute and back one over the other. They're both around about the 6-1 mark. I'm probably going to back Disco and Politologue against the field.
Yeah, I think the equation with York Hill is fairly obvious. Do you want to back a horse 6 or 7 to 4 and with probably an awful lot more ability than any other horse in the field and take a chance on him getting round? I don't know what I think that's just the answer we need to come to for ourselves. Personally, I've been backing Politologue a little bit. I'll be trading him on the day. I don't think he's necessarily going to go off in front. I think reading between the lines, listening to Nichols over the last couple of weeks, I think they're obviously aware that Disco is going to go off in front as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him bowl along just behind Disco. Really good jumper. A very, very good grade 2 horse at worst, and I suspect he'll probably run well and finish in the 3, because there's very little strength in depth in this race. If you look at the betting now, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th favourites, I think there's most of them are probably going to end up elsewhere. Could be a very small field, and I think Politologue will finish. I think he's got an excellent chance of finishing in the 3. Just looking at Top Notch, I remember when Top Notch came 2nd in the Triumph Hurdle. Nicky Henderson had the winner that day, Peace and Co. He had the 3rd horse home, Hargam. And he said in his interview, I remember writing it down, remembering it. He said in his interview after the race, well, there's one thing for certain, Top Notch is the one of the 3 that'll never make a chaser. So I kind of probably been a bit biased against him, but he's actually jumped very well. He isn't the biggest of horses. I wouldn't want him on my side at 3-1, but he has really surprised me this season. But for me, Politologue, either as a trade or an each-way bet, I'll probably play him in a few each-way multiples. And if York Hill jumps round without a mistake, I think he'll win very easily. Would I want to back him? I don't know. 6-4, 7-4, maybe not. Politologue for me anyway.
Yeah, I'm inclined to take a slightly different view with York Hill regarding his jumping and being possibly taken out of his comfort zone. I would have thought that his basic problem in any race that he hasn't been as impressive in, i.e. Aintree last year, is that the opposition hasn't gone fast enough for him. And for me, the faster the opposition go, the better he'll travel and the better he'll jump. And I think if he doesn't come down at the first two fences, he'll win on the bridle. And I'd say 7-4 was a pretty good price about him to jump round and do just that. He's the one horse in the field that is genuinely top class, and I just can't see them withstanding him. Really, I think they'll do very well to get anywhere near him if he jumps round. And I'm not that bothered about his jumping. He was very, very good first time out. He won hard-held second time out, when for me, he made a couple of niggly mistakes when he was pulling because they weren't going quick enough for him up front. And I'd actually be more concerned about the jumping of Top Notch than I would about the jumping of York Hill, because for me, he gets low at his fences, he's careful, and I can just see him not getting the same momentum up. So I'd be York Hill all the way.
Yeah, regarding York Hill's jumping, he jumps left-handed. Well, that ain't a problem going around Cheltenham. Uxie Zonda jumps left-handed, and nobody's mentioned anything about that, and he jumps badly left-handed. He takes the uprights. This is a class horse. He handles Cheltenham. He likes the track. He'll handle the occasion. He's a strong traveller. I can't see the pace in the race being a problem. There's two or three punt runners. You all know that Ruby's going to be able to sit in the pocket down the inside, because he's going to be able to travel and he's going to get a good lead. Can't really see the problem. He is the genuine Group 1 horse in this race. He's beaten the favourite, or the second favourite, in Yanworth in the Neptune last year. He jumped in his schooling session. If anything, he jumped one or two and they were a little bit careful and a little bit big. It's a great start, the 2.5 mile start at Cheltenham, because you start in the middle of the track, and the first lot of fences are, well, on the level. You swing the bend, turn into the home straight, and then your next fences are all on the pull. So he's got plenty of time to warm up. The ditch doesn't come along up until about the 7th or 8th fence, so loads and loads of time to get warmed up. And the key thing is, he handles the track. That's the big thing. He handles the track. Yes, he's a short price, but he's the one. He's the standout. Top Notch is rock solid. He's tough, but I don't think he is what he is. He's workmanlike, but nothing flashy. He'll run his race. Disco is the one. He's won a Grade One chase. He's the other one for me in here. Politilog, I couldn't have on my mind. Purely and simply, he got stuffed out of sight in the Coral Cup last year round Cheltenham. He unseated Ryder when he looked like he was going to win as a novice over hurdles. I think that was behind North Hill Harvey of Dan Skelton's, which, well, he should have looked like he was going to win on that occasion. But the fact that he had 10-10 in the Coral Cup last year, and he's now third favourite in this. He got well beat behind Waiting Patiently at Haydock, and Waiting Patiently doesn't run in this. He was a 20-1 chance. So I think everybody's getting carried away. Sam Twiston Davis has said openly that this is his best chance of the meeting, which tells me that probably Paul Nicholls doesn't have that strong a hand at the Cheltenham Festival this year. So this horse is third favourite. But I'd have York Hill and Disco to be banged there. But York Hill, for me, I think he'll win hard held.
Will you open up with the Ryanair, please?
I certainly will try and work up the Ryanair. I can't see the ground being soft enough for Underso. Won on bottomless ground, beating... what did he beat last time? Whisper. Whisper. Was it Whisper? Uxie Zongra. Now, I'm going to have Uxie Zongra to turn around the form, because Uxie Zongra is going to have his good ground. And that was his first run for a long time. And Uxie Zongra on that occasion was ridden to get round. To say that he wasn't put in the race, probably an understatement. He doesn't like soft ground. He was ridden, held up, and the pure and simple fact is he was ridden to obtain the best possible position on that occasion, and Barry Geraghty did a very good job, finished second. But I can guarantee in this race the ground is certainly going to be an awful lot better. The forecast says it's going to be dry from Monday onwards, By the time you get to Thursday, it's going to be good ground. This horse loves good ground. This was AP's last winner at the Cheltenham Festival. And I can see, I think Mark Walsh rides him. He's going to be bounced out down the inside and going to be made plenty of use of him. For me, Underso, if the ground was going to be slow, I'd be with him. I like Underso. He's tough. He's hardy. Doesn't know how to run a bad race. But on good ground, his jumping is a little vulnerable in the fact that he gets a little bit careful. He just gets a little careful with his jumping and just wastes a little bit too much time. So at the prices, oppose Underso and go with Uxie's Ondra. For me, if Sizing John was to run in this race, I'd be with him. But by all accounts, he's going to go Gold Cup and they're going to take a chance. And I admire them for taking the chance on the fact that he is going to get the trip. But he would have a great chance in this, but he's not going to go this way, I don't think. So Uxie's Ondra.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, the case with this race is a bit of sort of like looking at what's running elsewhere and a lot of the horses that you might have fancied to win it, e.g. Sizing John, who I would also have given a cracking chance to, are taking up other engagements. Underso goes in there with the strongest form in the book. I mean, I've got a few question marks against him, one of which is how well he really sees out this distance in a race where he's going to be harried for the lead. It seems like there's a lot of pace on here. Sub-Lieutenant's been ridden from the front all season. Uxie's Ondra, when he's been at his best, has been ridden positively. Joss's Hill, he's only really got one way of racing, and again, it's to go from the front. And I can see it being a real bit of a burn-up up front. The horse I like in this is Empire of Dirt for Gordon Elliott. He's done nothing but improve. I mean, obviously his handicap form at the festival last year, you know, that's 15 20 pounds off the class two in this, but he's then stepped up. He's made a winning reappearance in a really competitive handicap when he probably wasn't fully fit, judging by the market, and he was still hugely impressive. And I got the impression at Leopardstown that a stronger gallop would have seen him in an even better light. I think that's what we'll get here. We know he likes Cheltenham. We know that he stays this trip extremely well, and we know that he's progressive. I just think the way the race is going to be run is really going to suit him. I can't see him out the three, and I think he's got a pretty good chance of winning, so I'd have no hesitation in putting him up as a good bet.
Yeah, okay. Sizing John, exactly the same. I think that he would have the profile, the form figures of a champion without the presence of Devan in about seven of his races. And he would have probably been my biggest each-way bet of the festival if he'd have run in this race. It's not absolute given he's not going to, but it looks highly unlikely. Underso, I would share the thoughts that he's yet to be proven over this trip. He's proven over the trip at Auteuil, which I wouldn't really count in terms of British form. And I know the stables say that he will stay, but he's absolutely yet to prove it. And he's what is he now? 3-1-ish? 3-1 favourite, Andy? 3-1 favourite. I just think he's a must to oppose. The two I like are Empire of Dirt and Uxie's Ondra for two very different reasons. I'll come to them in a second. Joss's Hill, definitely better right-handed. Last year, everything went well for him in this race, and he finished 8th, and I would think there'd be a similar outcome this year. I like Sub-Lieutenant. I don't see him as a winner. I think he's a reliable horse. He'll like the good going, and I think he can finish in the first three or four, but I think he's got much more chance of placing than winning. If Fox Norton steps up to this 2 mile five, there's nothing in his profile whatsoever that would support that decision. I know Joe Tizard said that when he saw him running on into third place in the Arkle last year, that he thought that Ryanair rather than Champion Chase. But for me, running past beaten horses in that race, it's a world of difference from stepping up five furlongs in this. So I'm left with Empire of Dirt, who's progressive. Massive pointer in his favour was the last year in the Brown Advisory, course distance and on the new course. On that day, they wanted to start the race off in the first five or six, and he missed the kick at the start, Brian Cooper, and he found himself an awful long way behind, and he still won like a classy horse. And I think that the start that he endured hid how much superiority he held over the other runners, and I think he's a real player in this. I've missed the big prices, 5-1. I would agree with Matt that he'll probably finish in the first three with a very decent chance of winning. But I think if we want to make money in this race, the very simple and obvious way of doing it is to back the
Uxie's Andrew, who's going to be ridden very aggressively. There may be two or three other horses that want to be ridden prominently, but I'd be amazed if they got near Uxie's Andrew in the early stages. If Alan King puts the visor on that he wore 2 years ago when winning this, then that would increase my confidence in a trade on Uxie's Andrew markedly, and I may play Empire of Dirt and Uxie's Andrew in a few each way multiple bets as a duo with a couple of other duos.
Yeah, I think the guys have pretty much covered what I was going to say in this race, particularly Matt's assessment of Empire of Dirt. I think he's a horse that it's hard to envisage not being there or thereabouts, given the way the race is going to be run. We know he stays beyond 2.5 miles, but he's very effective, as we saw last year over this trip. We know he likes Cheltenham, and he looks as though he's been saved specifically for the race. It's a race that, of course, is owned by Ryanair. Michael O'Leary, of course, is the governor, and Giggenstown have actually never won this race, which I'm sure is a sticking point with Michael. He'd like to win his own race. The fact that he's got two leading contenders this year means that, to me, that he really means business. Until Vatil winning it last year, it hasn't really been the race for the Irish. It's always gone to an English trained horse, but I think there's a good chance that Empire have bucked the trend. I thought he ran really well behind Sizing John. He probably should have won as well that day. He tried to go up the inside when there was a very small, minute gap, and he had to bullock his way through. And by that time, Sizing John had gone by him, having a clear run around the outside. But it was a good trial. And if he fancied Sizing John for this race, I think he would have been favourite Sizing John here. Then Empire of Dirt, who was only half a length behind him over a trip that probably just about stretches his stamina, looks the obvious choice. So I think Empire of Dirt's a really solid each way bet around about 5-1.
Stayers Hurdle. So the Stayers Hurdle is probably my strongest betting race of the week. I started off 2 or 3 weeks ago backing Call Harden each way at 14s, 12s each way. Some of it was quarter of the odds, some of it was fifth of the odds. And the reasoning, well, first of all, I liked him for the race, but the reasoning also being that there was four Irish horses ahead of him in the betting, and it was blatantly obvious that two of them weren't going to run and one other might not run. So Vroom Vroom Mag is fairly certainly going to go for the Mayor's Hurdle, still in this betting at 5-6-1. Nichols Canyon, I don't know if they'll run him here. I wouldn't be afraid of him. If they did run him here, I would think that he'll either not turn up or he'll go for the Champion Hurdle. Jez Keys entered in the Champion Hurdle. I think, given that JP has got Yanworth and Might Into Yours, he'll probably end up in this race. If he comes over for the festival, he'd have some sort of a chance. And I think Shane's Hill is a mid-150s horse. And if he wins or comes second, I think that would be quite disappointing. So I think Cole Harden had a massive chance, 14s, 12s, and then trading out at the in the place market on the exchanges to just create a free win bet on Cole Harden. The other option that I would go where we are here and now is that Cole Harden, I think, is 11-2 in the market without, you know what I mean, Harry, and Bally Optic, as of this morning, was 10-1 with Bet365 in the market without, you know what I mean, Harry. And I will continue to back the pair of them and play them very strongly in many each way multiples, including two or three other duos, a couple of bankers here and there. I think they're a massively strong pairing. One of the advantages playing them is that if the ground dries out, Cole Harden has a massive chance of making all the running in this. If the ground is fairly fast, that would probably be the biggest fly in the ointment in terms of, you know what I mean, Harry's chances. And if it pours down, I would say Bally Optic has an extremely strong chance of winning the race without, you know what I mean, Harry. I think it's a really good bet with those two horses.
Yeah, again, Andy's covered it perfectly. It's one of the strongest races he's got, opinion-wise, and I'd almost go along with the same things. It's the kind of angle I'm looking at as well, under the same kind of proviso with the ground. It looks like it's going to dry out and favour horses who are haven't had their conditions this season. Definitely want Cole Harden for sure. I know Warren, I speak to him every now and again. Every time I speak to him, he's raving about Cole Harden and how he's turned him inside out. He's had one or two little wind operations here, there and everywhere. But he looked as though, to me, he was back to his best last time out. Although he got beat by you, I know what I mean, Harry. He just basically did. He had to carry him out on his shield that day. He gave absolutely everything on ground that he just could see physically he wasn't enjoying at all. And that told me more about Cole Harden than actually some of his wins previously, than the fact that he's now back to a level that you can rely upon backing him quite strongly. Whereas before you're thinking, you're back into my mouth, a sentiment and hoping that it'll come back, but that run in the Cleeve, which is the best trial for the race year in, year out, the Cleeve hurdle is almost like a carbon copy of what's going to happen at the festival. And Ballyoptic was probably ridden a little bit too aggressively that day. I think Richard Johnson got a bit of a rush of blood in the head and tried to make too much use of Ballyoptic. I can certainly see the angles with him. But if the ground dries out, which it looks like doing, it's the first time that Cole Hardin's going to have his condition since he won the world hurdle several years ago. He's going to be on fresh ground. He's going to be ridden positively, and I think the field will cut up. So I think 9-1 each way with, you know what I mean, Harry's a good bet, but Andy's already covered the even better option of 5-1 in the without the favourite market. Either way, it looks a fairly solid each way poke.
Matt?
Yeah, I didn't really have anything particularly in this race that's not been covered already. I was looking at Ballyoptic as the one horse that I thought was notably overpriced. When they disappeared into the fog at Ascot, he looked to be holding a decent chance against the favourite, you know what I mean, Harry, and he came down. And I also thought that the agree with the comments that he was ridden a bit too aggressively in the Cleeve. He's been a bit of a luckless horse, really. I mean, this season, from falling in the West Yorkshire Hurdle, when I also think he was going to win. And last season at Aintree, he gave the impression of being a potential top-notcher. I think what you're kind of relying on with him is that he's had a little bit of a break since the Cleeve, and that bringing him right back to his best. And I think if he's at his best, he's got a reasonable chance of turning the favourite over. And with the favourite at 6-4 and Ballyoptic around 16s, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer where the better value is. So he was going to be my bet in the race, would be Ballyoptic.
Well, I hate unlucky horses like Ballyoptic who happened to fall at the last when they jumped them well. He ran well in the Cleeve last time because they didn't have to jump the last hurdle because it was too sunny. So in that respect, if you back Ballyoptic, you'd be hoping the sun's shining at Cheltenham and they miss the last hurdle out again. I think the Cleeve hurdle was... they finished in a bit of a heap, and that was because of missing the last hurdle out with the sun. Cole Hardin got very close behind, you know what I mean, Harry. West Approach wasn't far behind. You know what I mean, Harry, you can't knock his form. He's 4-4 around Cheltenham. He's a bit like Bobsworth in that respect, going back when he loved Cheltenham. This horse loves Cheltenham. It's very, very difficult to oppose him. He's very short in the market, but there's plenty of ifs and buts about the rest. But for me, the each-way bet in the race is... I do think, you know what I mean, Harry, will win. The only thing I could see beating him was if the round came up quick. And Shane's Hill, he seems to improve for Cheltenham. He's finished second at the last three Cheltenham festivals. And when you look to his form, he's improved. That has been his best run of the season. He's improved £7 on his previous run. And his form is absolutely rock solid. And what I was impressed about him, he won last time out after having a crashing fall the time before. And there was absolutely no battle scars whatsoever. He was even more impressive. He's as hard as nails. He loves the track. He rises to the occasion. And if there's any holes in you know what I mean, Harry, he is the rock solid chance in here. And at 7-1, fantastic each way value. So, and he won't mind the ground if it comes up on the good side. So the one stat that we probably haven't mentioned is, I think the Albert Bartlett winners haven't got a great record at the Cheltenham Festival the following year. So, but you know what I mean, Harry. You know what stats are like? They're there to be broken. As a jockey, which one would I want to ride? You know what I mean, Harry. He's won his last seven. He knows how to win. He's a bit like an English Drever. Or a big bucks, come off the bridle a bit down the hill, but as soon as they turn in, they know where the line is and they'll keep galloping. But Shane's Hill, I'd have Shane's Hill for the forecast because I think he's rock solid.
And Andrew's son is called Harry.
We're looking at the rest of the day.
Yeah, anything
else? Just quickly, right? So. My biggest handicap bet of the week is in the Potemps. We'll come to that in a second. So just a couple of others. I thought Baron Alcor, quite by chance, would probably run well in the 2.5 miler. I've backed Let's Dance each way 3-1 in a couple of each way doubles, trebles and things in the mares, novice, non-runner, no bet, just in case she goes somewhere else. I hope single farm payment goes for the Kim Muir, but I understand he's going for the 3-miler on the opening day. If he goes for the Kim Muir and he has the proper jockey on, then I would be interested in him. The horse that I've had a really decent bet on, certainly been backing him for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is For Good Measure in the Potemps. The connections, Hobbs, Johnson, JP, same connections as last year with If In Doubt, who should have won the race, but for a horrendous trip from the second last to the last and through to the line. What I like about him is he's had 3 Cheltenham runs this season, in the first of them just beaten by Golden Doyen at the October meeting, which was when I started thinking of him for this race. As a consequence of that race, he was raced to a mark of 135. They then dropped him in trip, which was interesting because he needed every yard of that 3 miles on the previous in the previous race, and they dropped him to 2.5 miles. And I think that day what they were trying to do was, first of all, give him more experience of the course, give him a considerate ride through, and possibly hope to nick a place and go up by a pound or two, because 135 is the lowest rated horse that has got into this race on average over the last 5 years. So I think 135 is the mark. And I think they wanted to just get 1 or 2 pounds more, but not win a race and therefore go up to 140, 142. They came fifth that day with a very considerate ride. They then took him back to Cheltenham again, another good sign. They ran him over 3 miles. And I think if you watch that race, I think it's very noticeable that Barry Geraghty was more than happy to follow the winner home, which was owned by JP's big mate, Manya. And I think that we'll see For Good Measure rather busier in the Potemps. And I think he's bound to run a big race at about, I think he's still 14-1. He is still 14-1. I think that's a really good bet in a very difficult race.
Yeah, I think Let's Dance is a certainty in the Dawn Run mares, and obviously she runs. Her time figures that day when she ran on the same car, the Petit Mouchoir, suggest that she would have won that Grade 1. She would have beaten Petit Mouchoir on the circuit. She's just a phenomenal horse this season. She's beaten all the best Irish horses. I think she'll win the mares race. My main pick in the Potemps, I agree with Andy's pick for Good Measure, but I quite like Jury Duty, who came home and had the just the one run to qualify for the final. Got qualified by finishing and knocked about second behind Gaby the day at Chepstow. Just had a, they were almost trying to hunt it round. It ended up cruising into second, and I think they were just quite happy to give it a run and qualify, and it finished second, but should be ready for the race. And one for the brand advisory, horse called Size and Cadalco, trained by Colin Tizard, who went lights out over 3.2 miles on heavy ground on its last run. And amazingly, was still in there with a fighting chance at the second last, having gone hot, like I say, hard from the get-go. I think dropping back in triples really suit. He's off a nice mark, and the good ground will suit him. So Size and Cadalco for the brand advisory as well.
High Five is live at William Hill now. If your selection wins a High Five race by 5 or more lengths, you'll get a 25% bonus on your winnings. And if you back the runner-up and it's beaten 5 or more lengths, you'll get your money back as a free bet. The offer applies to races with 6 or more runners at all National Hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday. All National Hunt races shown live on terrestrial TV and selected meetings during the rest of the week. High Five from William Hill. Terms and conditions apply. Visit williamhill.com or the William Hill app for more details.